Our guest today is Dr. Beatrice Gill Stewart. We are delighted to have you with us here this morning, Beatrice. And Beatrice specializes in pediatrics in that she and her husband run Oconee Pediatrics out on Wells Highway, and they provide services for hundreds of children every year. I know that I was told by the office manager that Oconee Pediatrics sees at least 20 to 25 newborns a month, and 60% of their clientele is on Medicaid. So I'm particularly interested in the fact that they see so many newborns because, of course, that's what Baby Reed is focused on. Was born in Colombia, South America, and she immigrated to the United States at 5 years of age. She was not able to participate in any English preschool program or a Head Start program, so it made it pretty difficult for her to learn how to read in kindergarten, but she will tell you more about that than I am going to. Why do you think it's important to read to children from birth, and what have you found in providing the pediatric services that you do, why this is important?
We definitely know more and more each day the importance of reading at an early age. And in fact, all the way from birth. And the preparation for that really starts in pregnancy. So as early as possible. There is a wave of recent research in neuroscience explaining why early childhood is so critical. And that is when the brain is developing most quickly. And reading is a wonderful tool to bring together parents and children to interact, not just to be read to, but to have an opportunity to interact with their child. Perhaps not reading from day one, but with the idea of eventually, within a few months, sharing books, we'll be speaking to the child, singing to the child, playing with the child, face-to-face interaction, which reading allows it. It becomes a very important tool to continue to do that. And through reading, we also expand our knowledge of valuable information that we, you know, high quality information that we can provide, that we can continue to learn ourselves, benefit ourselves, and benefit our children.
The things that you just said, the importance of reading from really pregnancy on, is supported by the American Academy of Pediatrics. There are articles in the pediatrics journals. There was an article, it was a while ago now, but not so long ago, in the New York Times, about an organization called Too Small to Fail. There have been so much research behind the fact that the brain is developing most in the first 18 or 2 or 3 years of life, and that reading stimulates brain development. And also, as Beatrice says, it allows the parent to interact with the child, to bond with the child, et cetera, et cetera. Tell our audience a little bit about what it was like when you first immigrated to the United States and you could only speak Spanish.
So really, when I got to the United States, I arrived to Hackensack, New Jersey, and I don't remember too many other Hispanic neighbors where I lived. But I did live with probably 10 other family members, grandparents, aunts, uncles, my brother, and we were all Spanish-speaking. So we did not go back and forth. I didn't have the opportunity to learn English inside my house, in my house. It was when I went to school that I learned, and since I got to New Jersey at 5, I didn't have the privilege of attending a preschool program where I would have had the opportunity to become immersed in the English language. So I remember just doing a lot of daydreaming in class. I think I still do some of that. But, you know, but I really, it was really not being able to understand. They did have the ESOL classes, and I was pulled out of the classroom to be advanced in, you know, in learning English, but at the cost of not learning other subjects that the other students were continuing to do together. So it was always catch up. And that's really basically the way it was all through school, because I did go back to Columbia for a few more years and came back in middle school. But in a way, I don't consider that completely a terrible experience, because I was always stimulated to continue to learn more and more. There was never a boring moment in my life that way. But I do see the benefit of the preschool programs for children, not just bilingual, but really in any community, just preparedness for school, readiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just let me add to that, that the Assistant Superintendent for Instruction, Lisa Simmons here, and she made it clear that the standards in kindergarten have really gone up since when we all were in kindergarten. And at this point, when you graduate from kindergarten, you are supposed to know how to read. It's pretty difficult to know how to read in English if you haven't had any preparation prior to coming to school. Would you say that's accurate?
Yes, there definitely was a challenge.
Okay.
But also, you made a reference to the language acquisition in the research. Shows us that really the window of opportunity for acquiring a new language, being exposed to a new language, is in the young age, from 0 to 9 years of age. And yet, oftentimes, our schools, you don't get that language course until high school. I do see that our school systems are beginning to introduce a second language early on. And sometimes I've heard parents be concerned because of feeling like there may be a conflict between teaching two. But brain research says no. And I think it's very fascinating to be exposed young to a variety of languages to keep those neurons active. So that's a little bit different from the ESOL services, but it is also interesting as far as language acquisition.
Right. And just to add to that, this is Karen talking. There is no question, there is so much research, I can't even begin to tell you, that a child, a young child, can learn multiple languages. How about 3 or 4? You know, it's just the child has to be exposed, or what's called immersed, in those languages from a very early age. And as Kathy said, the child has no problem switching from one language to the next language to a third language if they have the good fortune to learn it. So you don't have to worry. But the important thing is talking to your child and reading to your child. And as Kathy points out, and we emphasize in Baby Read, and I'm sure that Beatrice also does this in her practice, we emphasize in Baby Read not just the importance of reading to the child, but also talking to the child about the world around him or her, so that you give the child words and vocabulary for what they're seeing, and they can connect the words with the objects. Like when you go to the supermarket and you say, banana, it's yellow and long, and then you hand a banana to your child. So,
well, there was research a few years back that came out that when you're talking about bonding with the family and sharing information, and you're talking about descriptive and developing that vocabulary, they said the number one indicator of success in school was eating together. So even with babies at the table, they establish a routine, it forces a conversation, it actually helps in providing additional information. So I think I think you can't overemphasize the bonding time and the together time that you're talking about spending with your child.
When we were talking earlier before the broadcast, you mentioned the disadvantages of media exposure, particularly for young children. So could you comment a bit on what you think about that and what kind of media, I mean TV versus other electronics like video games or iPads or iPhones? Certainly talk about cell phones because everybody has them.
Okay. So we all have our own personal experience, but I feel that in this subject, what we have to say is truly backed up by the American Academy of Pediatrics. There is a statement they made in May of 2018. And in fact, this is available for parents to read in plain English language in healthychildren.org under media use plan. So everything that we are talking about, there is a connection. There's a positive connection with reading and there's a negative connection with screen time. And I went ahead and reviewed their this particular article or statement that they made and made notes that I like to talk about today. When media can displace many important activities such as face-to-face interaction, family time, outdoor play, exercise, unplugged downtime, and sleep. When young children learn best through two-way communication, engaging in back-and-forth talk is critical for language development. Conversation is face-to-face is very important. And, of course, if necessary, video chat with a traveling parent or faraway grandparent is still something that can still be done, and that in children and media it's also an option. So talking back and forth conversation improves language skills much more so than passive listening or one-way interaction with a screen. For one thing, the screen is too fast for the young minds to really get the most out of it. And the Academy of Pediatrics also recommends avoiding digital media for toddlers younger than 18 to 24 months, other than the video chatting. For 18 to 24 months, watching digital media, it is going to be just with them while you're talking to your child and for a very limited amount of time. And then 2 to 5 year olds, the limit screen time is to just 1 hour a day of high quality programming with co-viewing with a parent that can explain what they are learning about. But keeping family times and children's bedroom screen free is very important. Turning off the TV when you're not watching because it gets in the way of face-to-face time with children. Again, you know, these changes do encourage more family time, healthier eating habits, and better sleep. On November 4th of 2019, there was a New York Times article called published Screen Use Tied to Children's Brain Development by Dr. Perry Klass, MD, who is the National Medical Director of Reach Out and Read. And he speaks about an article that was co-authored by Dr. John Hutton, Director of the Reading and Literacy Discovery Center at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. This article that he talks about is in JAMA in Pediatrics. And it speaks about this new studies using brain scans found an association between screen use and the developing development of young children's brain, and it reinforces the message about minimizing screen time for preschoolers. The children with high screen exposure had poorer expressive language and did worse on tests of language processing speed, like rapidly naming objects. It may have more to do, and this is almost a quote from them, it may have more to do with what screen time is replacing in child's life. So in the end, we don't want to squeeze out interactions, relationships, and engagements. In early years, as Dr. Perry Klass finishes this article and quotes also Dr. Hutton, he says, in early years, parents are so important. It's not that screen time is bad in general, but at these ages, it squeezes important personal time. In early years, parents are so important. It involves being there, interacting, playing, singing, asking questions, answering questions, and of course, reading.
Dr. Gilster, what would you say about babies, children 2 years and younger, or even preschoolers and cell phones? Because cell phones are everywhere today, and cell phones are very handy and very useful, but to my experience, children, babies see them as toys, and they're not toys. So what is your experience with preschoolers and cell phones?
I guess the first thing I have to say is my children are 25, 23, and 18. So we didn't really use cell phones that much when they were growing up. Maybe just to talk to a parent, our grandparent that was far away. But right now, cell phones have become more than just a tool to listen, to engage in conversation. It's a screen, and it's utilized more and more. So then again, this we need to be conscientious about the fact that it can squeeze out some of this interactive time that children need in the early, in the first years of life to have the best brain development.
Right. And maybe, Beatrice, you could comment on the fact that children basically model their parents' behavior. And insofar as a mom and dad or a grandmother, whoever it is taking care of the preschooler, is on the cell phone all the time, that's what children see, that's what children think is a good thing, and that's what they want to do. And I know that the American Academy of Pediatrics has made it abundantly clear that children below the age of 2 should not be in front of a TV, and they should not be near a cell phone, which sort of makes it hard given how much cell phone use there is. But maybe you would just comment on that, or
and you know, that is again part of the tips that the Academy of Pediatrics gives in their article on children and media, and it does recommend being a good role model, modeling, and also just learning about limiting the time on any type of media, again, because cell phones have not just become a way for communicating orally, but it's a screen that it is taking up more and more of our time. And
well, and I find that parents use them for babysitting purposes, and that children are having a greater difficulty learning to self-regulate, to be at peace, to be still. They have to, they use this. And so I agree with every single thing that you've said regarding media. Can you address the issue of ear infections and the importance of making sure you understand if your child has that as it relates to impacting reading and the processing and the development of phonetic skills?
Okay, so there is different reasons why children may have ear infections. There might even be a familial predisposition. So not everybody gets ear infections, but we do know that the children that have ear infections have fluid behind the tympanic membrane. And that fluid dampens the sound, which if it stays there long enough during those first years where language is being developed, it does affect speech. And we see that. We see that in pediatrics. So it is one of the things that in primary care we address often is ear infections, and we work with ear, nose, and throat specialists to address that concern and to decrease the impact on their speech development.
I think we probably have to close up, although, and I certainly want to thank Dr. Beatrice Gill Stewart for being our guest this morning.